are Reuben James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I'm peeling off my face after eating an atomic fireball for the first time in 30 years.
I don't understand. Why are you eating candy? You found the candy in the room. I know you did.
Don't let the boss know I stole a piece.
Oh, I stole two pieces.
Yeah, we're supposed to throw
these. I took like six and gave one to the intern.
Okay. I don't feel so bad.
I gave one to the intern, but that dropped on the floor. So I'm like, I'll give it to the intern.
Yeah. But I just reached in and grabbed what was there. I got a Tootsie Roll and an atomic fireball. I haven't literally 30 years since I had one of these things. These are horrendous. I mean, they're delicious. The payoff is incredible.
It's horrendous, but the payoff?
Are you being tortured? It rips the skin off your face. It's so hot. And then it also destroys your teeth.
Arnie, let's remember something. Rich thinks that mild chicken wings are hot. Oh. So let's remember who we're talking to.
That's a good point. I can't deny that. I've forgotten. God. I used to eat those things every day as a kid. They seem a little stronger
I need a dentist, by the way. I think a dentist.
You either need one or you don't.
Well, no, I didn't know if I need a dentist, an orthodontist. I don't know what the hell they do.
Well, it's not like an optometrist is going to fix your teeth. I got
it chipped. So my tooth is chipped.
That would be a dentist.
So it would be a dentist?
Yes.
Dentist equals teeth.
He's going to have to yank it out, but I'm an anti-dentite.
Stop. Don't use Seinfeld lines.
Wow. I thought you'd relate to that.
I do. You're an anti-dentite.
I am an anti-dentite.
He's trying to be funny, but he's doing it on a Seinfeld fanatic.
So. That's Tim Whatley.
Oh, here we go.
Now you just went over my
head. Tim Whatley, who was a dentist.
Yes.
He was the one who wouldn't, he didn't want to operate on Jerry's teeth because then Jerry went crashed his Thanksgiving party and he knocked the trophy out the window and it popped Woody Woodpecker the float.
Oh, that's why he wouldn't do anything?
No, he doesn't like Jerry, so he didn't invite him to the party. But Jerry went to the party knowing there would be lots of dentists there.
Oh, so you find a new one.
So he found a dentist at the party and the guy said he'd take a look at it and he put his head, leaned his head back and he knocked a trophy out the window and it punctured Woody Woodpecker.
Well, I need one, okay? But it's like I got a chipped tooth and I'm walking around with this thing and it's bugging me. So playing basketball, of course, somebody elbows me.
Start talking like Mike Tyson.
Hey, yeah. Oh, I can't even do that.
But in the meantime, yeah, how bad are we? All three of us have already dipped in. That box of candy is for us to throw at the kids.
Yeah.
Or throw towards the kids. Well, for the Essex Memorial Parade.
I was just going to put like one piece of candy on a string and just throw it and bring it back.
A bungee. Oh, you're bad.
Fishing pole.
But why do I get the feeling that we better hurry up and have this parade? Because by the time it comes around Saturday morning, there isn't going to be anything left in that box.
No, we're going to start opening it up and throw like one piece of candy out of it.
What we're really doing is we're helping out our coworker because they put the candy right in the office next to our coworker Crystal, who's running the Vermont City Marathon.
Right.
So she can't be loaded up on Skittles and Airheads and everything. So we're just helping reduce her temptation.
Yeah, she's running 26 miles, and then the box is directly attached to the desk of someone who just lost 125 pounds.
I think we should be different. Instead of throwing candy, we should throw, like, hamburgers and stuff. French fries.
Throw hamburgers. Yes. We'll talk to our buddies over at the burger bar.
Here's
hey, guys.
A burger.
Little
here's
burger
some fries.
Morsels.
Throw out some onion rings.
Meatballs.
Throw sodas.
Yeah.
Have a soda.
Well, parents will love us.
We'll just give out our bumper stickers and use it as a branding opportunity.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm serious. We really should throw out just food and
meatballs.
Just throw out food and soda.
Here, have a pizza.
You know those soda, where you pour the soda at the bar? Just have one of those squirting at people as we go by, like a hose.
Wow.
Hey, at least it's going to be different.
It might even be raining.
Oh, no.
Well, that's going to be good.
Yeah, we're all going. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I'll be in the car.
No, you're walking.
You're walking.
I got a bad knee right
now.
No,
you don't.
I'm driving.
And a chipped tooth. How come I'm supposed to walk with a chipped tooth?
The two old, frail guys are going to be in the van. You get out there. You're the young guy.
All I hear about is how in shape everybody is. So, no, you guys are walking.
How was hoops last night, by the way?
It was fun. I played well. Well, for not having played 3 weeks, I played well. I don't know that I played well overall. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
The first game, it was like me and two other guys that are pretty good and two other guys that are average.
Right.
Against our buddy No D Rob.
No D Rob, yes.
And four guys that aren't very good.
Yes.
And I said, Rob, you want to switch up the teams? He goes, nah. I go, all right, good luck. And they beat us.
Oh, get out of here.
So I had to eat my words on
I heard
that
the competition
one.
Was very weak. Yesterday. Very, very weak.
Is that – those aren't my words.
I'm just saying – no, I heard that most of the guys were terrible.
There were.
Those are my words.
It was not as good as usual.
Now, when you talk to Rob in everyday life off the basketball court, Do you say, hey, No D, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
I don't call him No D Rob. I call him No Right Rob because he only shoots off his shoots left hand.
I call him No D Rob and whatever insult I can come up
does
with.
Does he know this and does he not play defense? Does he try to improve?
He plays a little bit of defense.
Yeah, he plays.
I'm just giving him
he's
crap,
a tryhard. Yeah,
he's like a Kyle Korver on defense.
Yeah. You know, one of those pretty boys that doesn't do anything. He doesn't like to mix it up like I do underneath there for crying out loud.
Even though you're a pretty boy, too.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Oh, and real quick, because I know we got a lot to get to today. I heard the rumors about Tom Izzo. Going to the Orlando Magic, totally believe that 100%.
Just want to get out of Michigan State before the probation hits?
Well, they also have a new athletic director, new SID, and he was good friends with the old athletic director, the old president, too. They got a new president. And what has gone on there, it's absolutely hideous. And remember, he was offered the job, rumors were he was offered the job to
he was going to get the Pistons job, at one point.
I thought it was the Cavaliers before LeBron. Before LeBron had made a decision to come back. Somebody brought up a good point with the success that Brad Stevens had. No reason why Izzo can't have the same success. And you know what? It is time to leave. He's outwore his welcome. And like I said, the president, the athletic director, the SID, all that no longer part of his crew.
I think the news is starting to tighten a little bit around there. That's not the place you want to be. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if he does have some success because so many college coaches coming into the pros haven't made it work. You know, and Patino is a classic example of that. But you wonder now that Brad Stevens has actually made that formula work if they're – you're going to start seeing a few more of them try and make that hop up.
And remember, though, the difference is that Tom Izzo was in his 60s. Yeah. Brad Stevens was in his 30s when he did this.
He's 14.
So you talk about energy level. You talk about all of those things and willingness to live that lifestyle, travel and all that. That was a little easier for Stevens than it would be for Izzo.
I don't think he's even going to make the decision. I think they'll force him into the decision. They'll either feel – because I don't think he has to – if he gets fired by Michigan State, I think it would be a big tarnish on his name. And then you got to start thinking about a career after that. And I don't know what big program is going to hire him after what happened there. I think if he leaves now, goes to Orlando, if it doesn't work out, he still gets 3-4 years of pay. And obviously he's set for life, but he can still go on after that.
He better be ready for – I mean, Orlando is just a mess, right? He's going to lose more games in Orlando by the end of September than he loses an entire season in East Lansing.
It's okay. He's in Florida. State taxes there.
He's in the happiest place on earth.
No state taxes
the season.
All right, busy show. Lots to get to. Brady, what's coming up the rest of the week? And what do we got going on today?
Well, remember, listen to us on your Amazon Echo device by saying enable 101.3 ESPN and then just open 101.3 ESPN after that. Mistake of the Day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. As for today, we're excited. 5 o'clock, we're going to talk with former Patriots offensive lineman Rich Orenberger. That's going to be a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
You told me he once out-chugged Tom Brady in a beer-chugging contest, so we'll have to see if that is actually true. And we'll get more and more into David Price. We got big deal, little deal, no deal coming in. But first, let's start here. Rich and I told you.
Yep, you did.
Rich and I told you the Celtics were going to win, and they did.
Are you sure they won?
I am.
I don't know. I'm looking at the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Nobody commented on the game last night. You are one game away from going to the championship. You're one game away. We should be getting text like I'm giving away $100 bills today to everybody that texted and gold bars. 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. One away. Do they win it in 6? Do they win it in 7? Or do they lose it in 7? Phenomenal game. They did exactly what I say yesterday. If you lead at the end of the first, you know, you go on to the victory. It wasn't as easy as, you know, some of the earlier games out there. But they out-hustled and they outplayed Cleveland once again. Once again, the Celtics get it done at home. I still think this series is going to go 7, and I still think it's going to be a coin flip in game number 7. But thumbs up to Boston. And I guess you got to figure out now, How do they overcome the hump, win on the road, and win right. Game 6 in Cleveland, or if that's just forget about
just
it?
Just take all of that stuff they did defensively yesterday and just bring it to Quicken Loans Arena tomorrow night. It sounds so easy, but it isn't. But for whatever reason, and Terry Rozier, who was couldn't hit the side of a barn last night.
Had missed 12 in a row at one point. Yeah.
And well, the whole team wasn't shooting well. It was unbelievable. I think they ended up shooting 36.5% they shot for the game, and it didn't make any difference because that defense was just strangling the entire team. I mean, LeBron was okay, shot 50%, but the rest of the crew did absolutely nothing. Smith had a field goal. Hill had one field goal. Tristan Thompson had zero field goals, and you've got to get some help for LeBron in that case.
Well, we talk about, and we say this all the time in college, if you're going to pull an upset, and if in this case, I think the Cavaliers winning on the road against a team that would be 9-0 at home would be an upset. You need your stars to play like stars. They didn't get that. LeBron did have 26, which you can't fault that number. Kevin Love to only have 14. They need more, and then you also need role players to step up and do something unexpected. In game four, that in 3 and 4, that was George Hill and Tristan Thompson who had stepped up, and they did nothing. Kyle Korver had 14 in game four, or game three, I believe. He had nothing. So you talk about that. You took away the role players like you wanted to, and then Marcus Smart was 3 of 6 from three. He took a couple of ill-advised threes in my mind, but they went in 3 of 6. He shot better than 50% for the game, and you get five players in double figures. The thing that is great about the Celtics is they are no longer solely reliant on one player, and that means they can just have anybody step up at any given time.
No, you know, and we also said yesterday, look, the role players for Cleveland certainly know how to get it done at home. Can they get it done on the road? The answer is no. J.R. Smith is an embarrassment. That guy's an embarrassment to anybody that starts in the NBA. I mean, this guy acts like whenever he hits a three at home, like it's the hardest thing in the world, and what did he go, 1 for 6, 1 for 7? Hey, this guy's a joke, and the money he's making,
Does he have a max deal?
I think he does. Brady, you have to look that up. I think he has a max deal. I think Tristan Thompson, if they don't,
he has a big deal.
He's got a humongous deal.
Yeah, he was 1 for 6, 2 points, 1 assist, 0 rebounds, and a minus 19.
It's an embarrassment. The eight ball they put themselves behind because of the contracts to Thompson and to J.R. Smith.
4 years, $57 million, but it's not all guaranteed.
I should hope not.
It's like 50 is guaranteed.
The damage is done. He's not going anywhere. He's just an embarrassment. And, of course, everybody loved him after they won a championship, and he was crying to his dad. But otherwise, the supporting cast for LeBron, I feel bad for LeBron. There's just, other than Kevin Love, and he doesn't even bring it every game, he's got nobody to help him. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But obviously last night it was not. Now they're down 3 games to 2.
And look, I don't know when Kyrie and when Hayward come back next year what Jason Tatum's going to be. But right now, that kid is, I mean, everything. And he played defense really well last night. Everybody's always talking about how he's got to get his defense better. Hell, he's 20. Of course he's got to learn his defense. But, I mean, if you look at his numbers all the way across, he had 24 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, and he was great at the defensive end. For a 20-year-old kid, he just took that game over.
He's got the 4th most points by a rookie ever in the history of the playoffs, okay?
And which is amazing.
You're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Alvin Adams, and Elgin Baylor are the only rookies.
Remember him, the old Phoenix Suns.
Yep. Are the only rookies to have more points in a postseason than Jason Tatum. That's incredible. As for LeBron, he alone outscored the rest of the Cavaliers starting lineup. He had 26. The rest of the starting lineup had 24. Oh. That's not going to win you games. The thing that was the difference was, as I told you yesterday, if the Cavaliers hit fewer than 10 threes, the Celtics have done their job. They hit 9 yesterday, the Celtics and Cavaliers. The Celtics out-rebounded the Cavs, which they were out-rebounded by 10 the last time out in Game 4. That was the difference. And the Cavaliers, again, sloppy with the ball, had 18 turnovers. So if you go on the road and you can't get any production out of your starters, not named LeBron James, if you can't shoot lights out, you turn the ball over, you don't deserve to win, and they really weren't in the conversation very much of that game.
And credit goes also to the coaching staff and the scouting that noticed every single time that Ogilvy came into Game 4, Kyle Korver would come in, and he was shooting the lights out. And that's the one guy, which I found, and Brad Stevens never even took him off the bench yesterday. He played 0 minutes
only
in that
seven
game.
Guys.
And Tyronn Lue said that's the reason why he was confused. Did you see
that?
Yeah,
he said he says he basically outcoached him in that situation.
Because of that move. I mean,
Corford, when
you're a knucklehead.
When you're down 32-19 or whatever the score was after one period, a guy like Korver is invaluable. I know he's a revolving door defensively, but you've got to find a hot hand at that point and get yourself at least within shooting distance by halftime.
Well, the other thing that was interesting, and we talked, the thing I got to give Brad Stevens credit for and say that just constantly confuses me is that every time we think we know what Brad Stevens is going to do, he goes and does something different. We spent all of Monday's show talking about, all of Tuesday's show, rather, Terry Rozier guarding LeBron James. But what does that mean for everybody else? So yesterday, they go completely different. They play big more often. They leave Aaron Baines in more often. Yeah. And they get Rozier off LeBron. It's just a constant change-up of how they play defense on LeBron. I can't even keep up with anymore what Brad Stevens is, what the keys are.
I do have one negative. I think that Boston's doing way too much. And, of course, you know, a lot of it dictates the way the game is going, the flow is going, how much time is left on the 24-second clock. Almost half their shots, I think, are three-point shots. And let's show the Golden State Warriors. I'd have Golden State shooting every time a three-pointer. Half your shots, should they be three-pointers if you're the Boston? What's a good ratio? If you're shooting 80 to 85 a game, I don't know if you should be chucking up 40 three-pointers.
Yeah, that's what they did last night. It was 39 out of their 85 shots, so it's almost 50%.
That's way too much.
Yeah, but in today's NBA...
Well, if you shoot it like Golden State, I understand.
Yeah, we think that it's too much, but you also look at Boston and say they struggled in the paint. They didn't play that well in the paint in Game 4. They don't have a true big man scorer. What they have is a bunch of perimeter pieces, and that lends yourself to more outside jump shots. So, yes, we look at it and say, okay, we like more traditional basketball where it's outside in and you try to get to the hoop and you try to cut to the lane and then off the pass to the big man, everything else filters through. The Celtics don't have that big.
I don't mind the three-point shot. Just I didn't think 50% or close to 50% is how many. Golden State, I can understand. I don't know if I'm the Celtics, I need to be shooting 50%. Unless, you know, obviously time's running down in the shot clock. Maybe that accounts for maybe 5 or even 10 three-pointers. I don't know. I can figure it out.
Athleticism of Tatum and Brown going in there, too. I mean, the thing is they did take almost half their shots from beyond the arc, and I think Tatum and Brown combined for like 15 of them. So they did that a lot. But they're so athletic, they're so quick, and they get that quick step that they're able to get into the paint. And they did it a lot last night. And they spent the whole game at the free throw line. I think they had 14, 15 combined free throws. And that was a big part of that game last night. Yeah. The Celtics got to the line a lot. And when they did get there, they never missed.
21-23, better than 91% at the line. The Cavs were barely over 50% from the line. That was a big deal. And we talk real quick about Aaron Baines playing defense and being on the court more.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Cavs shot 42% from the floor, but they only had a 7.3 offensive rebound percentage. Now, that doesn't mean a lot, but for a team, that number might not mean a lot to you. But just know that the Cavs dominated the glass in Game 4.
Yep.
They out-rebounded Boston by 10. They were extremely good on the offensive end. And Aaron Baines being out there longer limited the effect of Tristan Thompson and also freed up Al Horford to be a little more of a communicator on defense and not have to be a one-on-one player on defense.
All right, shame on you guys out there. Shame on you. We get more texts when we talk about what our favorite ice cream flavor is than you guys are one game away from going to the NBA championship. Shame on you. We get a million texts. God forbid we give out a hat or a t-shirt or underwear like we like to do. We get a million people calling for that. But now you're one game away from going to the championship. And boy, did they have by the way, you should get it now. Tom Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Your thoughts on that? And your thoughts on that scuffle? It got a little bit ugly at one point. I thought there were going to be some fisticuffs. We'll come back. We'll get into that. We're off and running. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Real quick story. I got to tell you, you know my kid's going to Kent State in Ohio in the fall.
No.
Okay.
So you're wearing one of 12 Kent State shirts you own
but
today.
This is like the funniest thing he ever did. He's been talking to one girl for months now on Instagram, Textagram, all that stuff.
Textagram.
Snapface, as Bill Belichick would say. So they're talking a lot. You know, they're very friendly. And I guess one guy on the Cleveland Browns sent a direct message to the girl. And, you know, my son writes back, dude, you're about to go 0 for 17 now.
Wow.
You like that? I thought that was funny, man. I thought that was hysterical.
That's,
no?
That's good until they run into each other at some bar.
Wow.
6'7", 340.
Yeah, my kid's like, I want to go to a Browns game. I'm like, why?
Why? Somebody's got to do
hey,
it.
Hey, I went last year. It was fun.
Why? I ask again. Why?
In what month?
Yeah.
December.
Oh. Were you the only one there?
It wasn't full. The best story I have from the Browns game. The best story. So we were in the fifth deck.
Yeah.
Upper deck, fifth deck.
Why? December.
I have a fifth row.
Right on Lake Erie.
So let me finish the story. We're on the fifth deck, and the guy who's the usher in the fifth deck was wearing a Washington Redskins snow hat.
Oh, jeez.
So even the team employees were too ashamed to wear Browns.
I got to fire you at that point. I'm serious. You're fired, dude. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Who's going to go up there and fire him? It's 6.5 miles off the ground.
That's embarrassing.
Wow.
All right, Brady, let's get to the big scuffle yesterday because it could have really hurt the Celtics. Even though it wasn't even their fault, they got the raw end of this thing.
Yeah, well, Marcus Morris. So the Cavs are going up for an alley-oop in the second quarter. Larry Nance goes up to try to catch the pass. Marcus Morris slaps the ball away, stands over Nance, taunts him, starts to walk away. Then Nance pushes him in the back. Then Rozier pushes him. So the Celtics get hit with two technicals, one for Morris, one for Rozier. Nance gets a T, and tempers kind of flared, subsided after that. But that was a huge play because the Celtics ended up on the wrong end of a 9-0 run right after that.
Larry Nance Jr. completely out of bounds. I'm surprised they didn't throw him out.
Stop.
No, I'll tell you why. There was no flagrant one, flagrant two called on Morris. There was no intentional foul or anything like that.
Correct.
So it was just a foul, okay? And he didn't stand over him because there's a big difference between standing over somebody. And we know, I forget what was the one with Draymond Green and LeBron. That's like standing over somebody. He went over, and if you look, and I purposely slowed this down, whatever he said, he only said like 1.5 words or 2 words at the most. I don't know what he could have possibly said, but at 2 words in the playoffs – sit your ass down and don't get up and push somebody in the back because he might have said 2 words to you. You're in the middle of trying to go to the championship. He was so out of bounds. So some guy came over and said something to you and you're going to go get all hurt out of it? How long have you been in the league? For a cup of coffee? Who the hell do you think you are? You're not even your dad. So I got to tell you, he was so out of bounds. Celtics are lucky it didn't even cost him a big run by the Cavaliers.
Yeah, but
there.
Wouldn't you say that Morris was a little bit out of bounds getting in his? You have to understand
he didn't get
the
in
circumstances
his face.
There. He knocks him over. His team is losing by 15
points. It wasn't flagrant
points,
one or flagrant two.
And he's standing next to him. Okay, granted, he's not standing directly
over
him.
No, but he was sitting
and
on the.
He's barking at him.
No, he didn't bark. He said 2 words.
Yeah,
I keep telling you.
Whatever
that.
The words were, Morris said to reporters, I can't say that on camera.
Well, too
so
damn bad. Yeah, well, I'm glad he said something. At least somebody was sticking up.
Now, and that being said, I think Nance needed to show some restraint right there because at that point nothing had been called. But so you're saying Morris had nothing to do with this whole thing? I mean, he kind of started it, didn't he?
Because he gave a hard foul?
Look.
No, because he stood over the guy and barked at him.
Look, it's cowardly of Nance to push him in the back. Okay, that's cowardly. But I now the play that Morris made is not as bad as the J.R. Smith Al Horford play.
Right.
It's not that bad. But I understand why Nance is offended. He left his feet to try to catch the pass. He was then knocked out of the air. I understand why he's offended. I know it's not a flagrant because he didn't hit him in the head and he didn't push him directly in the back. But I understand why he's offended there. As far as Morris talking trash to him, that's out of bounds too. And then Rozier, we can say, oh, we love coming to his defense and all that. But the bottom line, you got two technicals and the team went on a 9-0 run after that. It was a big deal.
He's out of bounds too. There's no bounds. Well, Rich, I'm going to let you say this, but you can't, if you didn't get a technical foul for talking smack and you didn't get a flagrant one, flagrant two intentional foul for the foul, then Larry Nance Jr. is out of bounds because the referees didn't call it that way.
But do you see my point about him standing over barking at him? Don't you think that's inciting
the
whole thing?
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
No, I understand that. But that's in that situation, when your team's getting your butts kicked and a guy just basically knocked you down.
Would Larry Nance Jr. have gotten up and done that if the score was tied And there was five seconds left in the game?
I
no.
In the heat of that moment, no. I don't think it mattered.
No,
I really don't think the score mattered. The only way the score mattered there is because you had a frustrated Cleveland player on the ground because his team was getting their butt kicked.
Arnie, if you had that done to you in Wednesday night basketball, you'd be in the next day talking about how you threw elbows and how it's the
dirtiest
play ever.
I've had worse done to me. I had worse done to me on Monday and Wednesday night basketball. I do have restraint enough to know when there's if there's 5 seconds left in the game, I'm not going to jump up like that. And by the way, he did jump up, and he only jumped up like 5 seconds later. It wasn't like the heat of the moment, you know, where you could excuse somebody. He jumped up like 5 seconds later.
Look, I'm making the same point I just made 30 seconds ago before I had to answer the phone. Okay, and by the way, David in St. Albans wants you to know, I don't even think there was a foul, so he's like, I want him for mistake of the day.
Wow. Yeah.
So, Morris, I understand why Nance is frustrated with the hit. Whether it was intentional, malicious, whether it was a foul, not a foul, I understand being upset. When you go 30 inches vertical in the air to catch a pass, and when you're knocked down, I understand you being offended. Then when the guy gets over you and taunts you, whether it's one word or a 5-minute soliloquy, I understand you being offended by that. Then I understand the added frustration of where you are, the score in the game, and the fact that Morris was barking at Tristan Thompson all the way back in game two. Yeah. I understand that Morris is a player that elicits that kind of reaction. I understand Nance being mad. You're a coward to go and push him in the back. I understand that too. But as far as the Celtics go, look, I have a hard time separating this because I like the personalities on this team. I think you need a little bit of tough guy in you. You need a little bit of rough and tumble in you. You can't be pretty and perfect all the time. The Celtics aren't. So I like that. But when you throw in the fact that they were given two technicals versus one, and Cleveland came out with a 9-0 run after that, that almost, maybe didn't cost you the game, but it cost you a large amount of good faith that you would build up early.
They had a three to stop that 9-0 run, too.
And I don't think there was anything going to be called on that play until he started yelling. I mean, once he started yelling at him, I don't think there was anything that was going to be called. It was just going to be an inbounds play. No harm, no foul. And then all of a sudden the pushing started, and there's three guys committing, you know, getting hit with technical fouls. So I don't know. I blame Morris for standing over him and yelling at him, and that started it. But at the same time, you got to have a little bit of restraint, especially when your team needs you. And my first thought was, oh, no, Morris and Rozier both gone? Please tell me no, because that would have changed the game completely.
I think he's right. So there was not a foul called on that play, right?
There was not a foul. No. There was the free throw that Korver ended up taking as a result
and
of the two technicals.
And they got the ball out of bounds,
right.
So they only got 1 point out of the whole thing because they were going to get the ball out of bounds anyway.
Yeah. So, yes. So the thing that set it off officially, the technical barrage, was the push. I mean, if that hadn't happened, it would have been no harm, and they would have been.
There was no harm. There was not a foul called.
Morris,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Morris standing over him was one technical. The retaliation was the other, and then Rozier pushing him in the back, that's the third.
By the way, I didn't know that, you know, that should not be reviewable, is giving somebody a technical foul, because they didn't give a technical foul before they reviewed it.
They were probably looking to see if it was a flagrant.
Yeah, but they still didn't call, well, they didn't call a foul, period. What difference? How could it be a flagrant without calling a foul? I mean, they really botched that up. I want to know if that's reviewable, if you could decide you want to go ahead and give somebody a technical foul. I think that's ridiculous, but thank goodness Boston went on and got the victory. They're up 3-2. Man, I'm waiting to see if they can go ahead and win one in Cleveland. I think they have a better chance of winning game 6 and stealing one on the road than maybe Cleveland does in Boston. I'm not so sure. We'll have to wait and see.
Does this series, and I heard, I think it was Colin Cowherd bring up the fact that his biggest concern after game 4 was that Cleveland's just going to mail it in for Game 5 knowing they're going to win Game 6. And then Boston's going to mail it in Game 6 knowing they're going to be at home in Game 7. And then all hell's going to break loose for Game 7.
And you can go bet on that then if you're so sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and bet the family farm on that.
No, but it sure seems that way, the way the Cavs played last night.
Real quick, Brady, what's going on? Ohtani's not going to be pitching against the Yankees, I guess. Who's up in an uproar other than Yankee fans?
Well, that's what we're asking. So the Angels are taking on the Yankees this weekend. It was supposed to be Sunday. The showdown of Japanese aces, Ohtani and Tanaka. Now, I wasn't all in on the Japanese connection because I've seen that before, okay? I've seen Ichiro against Hideo Nomo, right, if I'm not mistaken. I've seen Tanaka against Darvish. I have seen that great, you know, culturally, I have already seen a great Japanese pit player against a great Japanese player. If I were a Yankee fan, I'd be disappointed that I missed a chance to see Ohtani in Yankee Stadium if I was thinking about going to the game. And then if I'm a baseball fan, I'm disappointed about the idea of not seeing Ohtani pitch against one of the best lineups in the league.
Well, when you have 162 games, you need something like this because you need, you know, it's kind of like bat day or bobblehead day, right, or something. You need something to keep the interest in 162 games, yeah, this would have been perfect.
This is preposterous. The Angels called it workload management. The kid's thrown 40 innings, and we're almost to the end of May. He's thrown 40 innings, and I understand he plays a lot, but they give him days off after every start. He says... This is strictly because they don't want him getting lit up by that lineup.
But that's not true because, I don't know what the Yankees do on Sundays, but don't they bench a lot of their judge, but yeah, for getaway day.
Especially catchers, because they're afternoon games on getaway day.
Well, he pitched against the Red Sox, and he's pitched against Houston. So he's pitched against top lineups in baseball before, and they haven't hit him.
I understand, but when they say workload management, so what do you call it when he starts the next night against Tampa or wherever they're playing?
I don't know. Well, what do you call it, too? We see young players on innings limits all the time. I would rather see him pitch. I understand 40 is not a high number, but for a guy who's 23 years old, who's a prized possession of your organization, and for a guy that was hurt nearly all of last season and didn't have last season to go and build up innings, I understand being cautious.
But if you are talking about workload management, are you skipping him completely? No, for all I know, maybe they are skipping him one time in the rotation, so this whole conversation is a moot point. But if he's pitching the next night, how is it workload management? Just throw him out there for five innings, let him pitch in his regular rotation at Yankee Stadium, which it happens to fall on. And, you know, I should have the schedule in front of me because for all I know, he's pitching the next night.
They haven't said yet.
Brian in Richmond, you scream for text messages and then read none, mistake of the day. Well, I didn't read any because we got people from like Bob and Milton asking me when the underwear giveaway is and stuff like that. And then Keith in South Burlington talked to me about Giants football because we don't have enough time to talk Giants football because there's only 5 months to the start of the football season.
That's much more important than the Celtics right now.
Yeah. Brian does say Avery Bradley.